Picture this. You're established on a 3-mile final. Wind is out of the left at 15 knots. Your ground track is locked on the center line. Your descent rate is steady. The runway numbers are centered right in your windscreen, and then it hits you. Your nose is pointing 10, maybe 15 degrees to the left of the runway heading. You're a crab, and in less than 2 minutes, you have to do something about that. This is Radio Hangar. I'm Pattern, and today on Traffic Pattern, we're walking through crosswind landings. Not just the fact that crosswinds exist, we're talking about exactly what's happening aerodynamically, why two legitimate techniques have been debated for decades, and most importantly, the single moment in the approach that decides whether you make this look easy or end up tracking sideways across the numbers. Before we get into it, quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument commercial, they've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. All right, let's start from the beginning because understanding the why makes the how a lot more intuitive. When you're flying, the air mass you're sitting in is moving sideways relative to the ground. Your airplane goes where the air mass goes, plus whatever direction you point it. So if the wind is pushing you to the right and you do nothing, you will drift right. On final, that means you slide off the centerline. To fix the drift, you angle the nose into the wind. You point left if the wind is from the left. Now the wind is trying to push you right, you're pointed left. The two forces balance out and your ground track goes straight down the centerline. That's a crab angle. It works beautifully all the way down final. You're tracking straight. Your approach is stable. You're comfortable. The problem is what happens at touchdown. When your wheels touch the runway, the ground does not care about your aerodynamic compromise. The ground cares about which direction your gear is pointing. If your nose is angled 15 degrees off the runway heading when the rubber meets the pavement, those wheels are going to want to track the direction they're pointed, which is sideways relative to your actual ground track. At 40 or 50 knots, that is not a good day for the landing gear, the tires, or your logbook. So the crab has to go away before touchdown. That is the fundamental challenge of every crosswind landing. Now, here is where instructors have been having the same argument since before the first crosswind runway was ever painted. How do you get rid of the crab? You've got two primary techniques, the wing low method, sometimes called the forward slip or side slip, and the crab method, where you de-crab at the end. There's also a combination of the two, which is what I teach most students. Let's walk through each one. The pure wing low method means you set up crosswind correction from the start using ailerons and rudder together. If the wind is from the left, you roll in left aileron to lower the left wing, and you add right rudder to keep the nose pointed straight down the runway. You're not crabbing at all. The airplane slips sideways through the air, and the aerodynamic forces keep you tracking the centerline without the nose pointing away from it. Inside the cockpit, this looks like a lowered upwind wing, a ball in the inclinometer that's off to one side and cross controls. You are intentionally flying uncoordinated, and you hold that configuration all the way through the flare and touchdown, where you land on the upwind main gear first, then let the other gear settle, then the nose wheel comes down. The big advantage of this method is that there is no transition moment. There is no last-second maneuver. What you see on approach is what you get at touchdown. The nose stays aligned with the runway from 3 miles out to full stop. The disadvantage is that it requires constant effort. If the crosswind is significant or gusty, holding those crossed controls all the way down final takes energy. Your airspeed indicator may also read slightly low because the pitot tube is not pointing directly into the relative wind. Not dramatically, but worth knowing. Now the pure crab method. You crab all the way down final, and then at the flare or just before it, you kick out the crab with rudder. You push the rudder in the direction of the wind, which rotates the nose to align with the runway, and simultaneously lower the upwind wing with aileron to catch the drift. Then you land. The advantage here is that final approach is comfortable and coordinated. You're flying normally. Your instruments read accurately. You're not fighting the controls the whole way down. It's almost relaxed. The disadvantage is that the transition is a compressed skill. You have 2, maybe 3 seconds in the flare to kick the crab, lower the wing, catch the drift, and maintain the center line. If you do it too early, you're holding a full slip for too long. If you do it too late, you're touching down with the nose still angled. If you kick the rudder and forget the aileron, you drift. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The reason most students struggle with the pure crab method isn't the mechanics, it's the timing. They wait too long, they're at 50 feet, still fully crabbed, thinking they have more time than they do. The transition has to happen lower than you expect, but also high enough that you still have room to catch any drift that develops. That window is smaller than it looks from the pattern. The combination method is what I teach most students and what most examiners expect to see on a practical U-crab on final. Comfortable, stable, coordinated, then somewhere between 200 and 300 feet above the ground, you begin reducing the crab angle and introducing the wing low side slip simultaneously. You transition gradually, so by the time you're in the flare, the nose is aligned, the upwind wing is down, and you're set up. The advantage of this approach is that you're not holding a full slip from 3 miles out, and you're not scrambling in a 2-second window during the flare. You have altitude to work with. If the transition isn't perfect at first, you have room to adjust. Now let's talk about what the airman certification standards say, because if you're headed toward a check ride, you need to know exactly what the examiner is looking for. The ACS says you need to maintain proper alignment with the centerline, touchdown at or within 1,000 feet of the specified point, and touchdown without side drift, with the airplane's longitudinal axis aligned with the runway. That last requirement is the one that matters most for crosswind technique. When you touch down, your airplane has to be pointed down the runway. That's what eliminates the lateral load on the gear. The ACS also evaluates your airspeed on final, your stabilized approach, and your overall judgment, and your crosswind component needs to be within the airplane's demonstrated limits. For most trainers, that's listed in the pilot's operating handbook, and it usually sits somewhere around 15 knots. Respect that number. Knowing the limit is part of the skill. Let me walk through a scenario I see cause problems regularly. Student is on final for runway 27. Wind is 240 at 12. Nearly direct crosswind from the left. The approach looks great. Crab angle is solid, center line is locked in, glide path is right where it needs to be. We get to about 100 feet above the numbers. The student begins to reduce the crab. But instead of adding left aileron at the same time, they just use rudder. The nose swings right and aligns with the runway. And now there's no crosswind correction at all. The wind takes the airplane, it drifts right, and we're heading for the edge of the runway. What went wrong? They decrabbed without transitioning to the wing low. The rudder removed the crab angle, but nothing replaced it. The airplane is now flying coordinated and straight, and the wind is moving it sideways. The fix is that rudder and aileron have to happen together. As you push right rudder to align the nose with the runway, you put in left aileron to lower the left wing. The side slip is established as the crab is eliminated. Center line is held throughout. Both inputs simultaneously. Another mistake I see a lot, overbanking. Students who are really focused on the correction sometimes lower the upwind wing way too far and they touch down hard on the upwind main gear with a steep bank angle. A crosswind side slip touchdown involves a gentle bank, maybe 5 to 10 degrees, not a 45 degree roll. If the wingtip is starting to feel close to the pavement, you have too much aileron in. And here's the one that really trips people up. Which direction do you bank? Always into the wind. Always. If the crosswind is from the left wing goes down. If it's from the right wing goes down. You would think this is obvious, but in the scramble of a short final, especially a gusty one, I have watched experienced students bank the wrong direction, which makes the drift actively worse into the wind. Always. Rudder direction opposite from the aileron input toward the runway heading. Left wing down, right rudder to keep the nose aligned. Right wing down, left rudder, crossed controls. Intentionally, now let's talk about gusty conditions because that changes the equation. The standard guidance is to add half the gust factor to your normal approach speed. Wind reported at 12 gusting, 22 gives you a gust factor of 10. Add 5 knots to your approach speed. That energy buffer protects you if a gust drops out and you suddenly lose lift in the flare. In gusty conditions, stay flexible. The crosswind component is changing as you descend. A crab angle that was right at 300 feet may not be enough at 100 feet if a stronger gust kicks in. You have to keep adjusting, and in gusty conditions, keep the go-around mentally ready. If you're at 50 feet and the crosswind just went beyond what you can manage, going around is not a failure. It's a decision. The ACS evaluates judgment right alongside stick and rudder skills. Here's something that doesn't get enough attention. The crosswind in the flare and on rollout. Once you're in the flare and bleeding off speed, the control inputs need to increase. As airspeed decreases, the control surfaces become less effective, which means you need more aileron to keep the upwind wing down. By the time the mains touch, you may have significantly more aileron in than you started with in the transition. On the rollout, keep that upwind aileron in and use it aggressively. You don't want the wind getting under the upwind wing and lifting it, which can pull you off course, or in extreme cases, cause a departure from the runway surface. After the rollout, as you slow to taxi speed, continue holding into wind aileron. The upwind wing stays down. That's not just technique. That's keeping the airplane on the ground. Let me give you a structured drill for your next lesson. Pick a day with a moderate, steady crosswind. 8 to 12 knots, not gusty. Do 3 landings using only the wing low method from the start. See how far out you can establish the side slip and hold it comfortably all the way to touchdown. Then do 3 using the combination technique. Make a conscious note of where you begin the transition. Is it at 200 feet? 150? Try to be precise. Then on the rollout after each landing, ask yourself, was the nose aligned when I touched down? Was there any lateral movement? Where exactly did the transition happen? If you have a CFI with you, ask them to call your altitude during the transition. A lot of students who believe they're transitioning at 200 feet are actually doing it at 75. Having someone call the numbers out gives you a picture of what's actually happening versus what it felt like from the left seat. This skill gets built through honest self-assessment, not just survival. Not just I landed, but where did the process break down and why? The crosswind landing is one of those techniques that never quite feels finished. There is always a stronger crosswind, always a gustier day, a longer runway, a shorter one, a different airplane with different handling. The goal is not to master every possible scenario. The goal is to stay ahead of the airplane, know your limits, and make good decisions when conditions push against those limits. Know the demonstrated crosswind component in your POH. Respect it. As you build hours, you will discover where your personal minimums sit relative to the airplane's demonstrated limits. And when conditions exceed what you can handle with confidence, asking for a different runway or diverting to another airport is not a weakness. It is aeronautical decision-making, which honestly is what this whole thing is about. The FAA's Airplane Flying Handbook, Chapter 8, covers all of this in detail, and the Airman Certification Standards for Private Pilot give you the exact performance expectations. Both are worth a read before your next gusty day. More at RadioHangard.com. I'm Pattern. Keep the upwind wing down.